times, or if you have teenagers, they want cash rather than a gift, which makes things easier and less intimidating, because when you buy a gift, kind of wondering if the person will like what you're going to get them. Really put a lot of thought, picked out a gift, and you really put a lot of thought and heart into it. You really wanted to make the person happy in what you got them. And then you gave it to them. Actually, before you gave it to them, someone else gave them a gift. You know, sometimes there's a little envy or jealousy that happens at Christmas time as the gift giver. And have you ever seen someone else give someone a gift first, and they were so thrilled to get what they got? They were very demonstrative in their reaction and affectionate because of what they got. And then now you're thinking, oh great, now they're going to get what I gave them, and I don't know if it's going to look as good as that. Or maybe you feel like it's as good as that, and then they open it and you get the thanks. You know, it's kind of a lackadaisical response. And you really thought it was a good gift. Maybe even thought it was a better gift than the other person's gift. And you're wondering, why didn't I get the same kind of response? And sometimes we maybe look at other people's lives and in other aspects and see what they do. And you think, why are they getting blessed so much? Why are, even if I think spiritually, why are they receiving from the Lord so much? He's using them. He's working in their lives in such a powerful way. But he doesn't seem to be doing it in my life. You know, I'm reading my Bible just as much as them. I'm praying just as much as them. I'm serving just as much as them. But what is the difference? It all looks the same on the outside, but why does it look so different on the inside? And I think you have a chart in front of you. I'm going to read the passage, but back to back, you have the story of the angel visiting Zechariah and letting him know that they're going to conceive, and the child they're going to have is going to be John the Baptist. And right after that, Mary gets visited by an angel, and she gets told that she's going to conceive, and that's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And for some reason, there's a big difference in the way the angel responds to Zechariah versus the way he responds to Mary. And yet the story seems to be almost exactly the same in detail. So Luke 1, verse 5 says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at that hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side at the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not fear, or do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." So Zechariah gets this experience, and the angel visits him and gives him a pronouncement, and then he asks a question, and the angel gets upset with him because he didn't believe. Now we want to see if Mary did anything different, because she does not get the same response from the same angel. It is Gabriel once again. Verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin was named Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Two experiences. Looks almost exactly the same. And you can see in that chart in front of you that both were in good standing before God. Zechariah was righteous. Mary was the favored one. Both had obstacles to the thing that was supposed to happen. Elizabeth and Zechariah were too old to have children. Mary was a virgin. Both had the angel appear to them. Both of them were afraid when they saw the angel. Both of them were scared of that. The angel offered them both encouragement, said, "Don't be afraid." The declaration was made of what was going to take place. And both had a declaration that the child that was going to be conceived were going to be great. In fact, the exact same wording for both of them: "He will be great." Then both of them questioned the angel. Both of them had a question for him. And then both of them restated the obstacle. Zechariah said, "I am old." Mary said, "I am a virgin." Both of them had the same response. Both of them, the event still took place despite their responses. The conception happened for both. And yet, for Mary, when she asked the question, the angel answered her question and said, "This is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And then the power of the Holy Spirit did come upon her. For Zechariah, however, the angel corrected him, and he said, "How could you not believe?" And then he gave him a consequence: "You will be silent." So what is the difference between Zechariah and Mary? The difference is the heart behind the question that you can see reflected in the wording. Mary said, "How will this be?" And Zechariah asked, "How shall I know this?" One was asking God, "Help me to know, like, the way this is going to take place." Where Zechariah was asking, "Can you show me something that will help me know it will take place?" And you can see in the reaction to the angel, he said, "Because you did not believe." And that was the difference. Just such a subtle difference, and yet that made the world of difference in the reaction for the two of them. And that is what can happen in our lives, where you can look at one person that the outside looks the same, and yet they're not, God's not moving in their lives the same way. They're praying, they're reading their Bible, they hold the same beliefs, they go to church, they get involved, they live a righteous life, and yet one person is not getting the move of God in their life the same as the other. And the difference is, one actually believes God. So the question is, do you believe that God will answer your prayers? It's not a problem to ask the question, but are you asking, how are you going to make this happen, or will you make this happen? How is the resurrection, how is the return of Christ going to happen, or when is it going to happen? How are you going to move in my life, or when are you going to move in my life? Those are two totally different questions. And the question for us is, do we truly trust Jesus in our lives, knowing that he will, just not knowing how. So will you stand with me? And Joe's going to lead us. We're going to sing a song about placing our trust in Christ. And as we sing this, let us reflect on what kind of a faith do we have. Are we more similar to Zechariah, that we have all the exterior stuff and we have some form of faith, but we're waiting for evidence? Or do we believe like Mary, where we know it will happen if God said it, but we're puzzled as to how? And let's think of that and declare, hopefully, that we have full trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for coming to this earth. And what a lengthy, difficult, hard process it was for you to earn salvation for us. You were perfect and eternal and with the Father always. And you left that throne to take on human flesh, as weak as it is, limited as it is. Went into a cold, dark world, sinful, fallen world. And you made yourself vulnerable for us. And then you grew up and you lived life, resisted every form of temptation. And then you began to teach in all wisdom and power and display miracles so that we would know and have evidence that you are the Son of God. And then you willingly went to the cross and was beaten and crucified and died and was separated from the Father. And then after 3 days, you rose from the dead and conquered death and conquered Hades and created a pathway for us to be in that throne room as well, Lord. You ascended to heaven and then you sent the Holy Spirit. And you did all of that, and it started with the day that we celebrate today, Christmas Day, that you came into the earth. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to trust in you with our lives, Lord. No matter what pain, no matter what challenges or obstacles or difficulty, no matter how much work we have to do, may you help us to trust in you. And I thank you for those that have gathered with me and my family this morning. And I ask that you would bless them, that you would bless them for seeking you and trusting in you, and that you would bless our entire church body, Lord. And as we move into a new year, may you help us to live lives in such a way that we have absolute trust in you. Help us to be like Mary, that when there's things that are puzzling to us, we would just ponder them in our hearts and would have the willingness to say, be it unto me according to your word. So help us to live that way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for being with us today. Merry Christmas. And online, Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us today. And next week, start a new year. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you, Joe, for leading us.